o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Predictions on the Rockies. Who's going to be the best hitter, best pitcher? We had our Major League Baseball predictions last hour. I've got Braves, Astros in the World Series with the Braves winning it. You had, I'm trying to remember, you had who?
Same.
Okay.
The exact same.
And I had Ezekiel Tovar as the Rockies' best hitter this year. I'm going with the wild card. I'm going with Cal Quantrill.
Yeah, I had Nolan Jones and Kyle Freeland as the best hitter, best pitcher combo for the Rockies this year. Now, that is relative. Their best may suck nationally, league-wide, but it's going to be their best. Their best guy, I think. It's going to be Kyle Freeland and Nolan Jones.
Just got a text from a few folks here we want to get to. From Rick over at Rick Nelson, American Family Insurance. Good morning, Rick. You guys should drop your day job and come do insurance with me.
I'm good. Thanks, though.
Rick, your job sounds way too difficult.
Yeah. Rick sponsors a lot around here, so he's already kind of paying me.
Yeah, in a way, and you are, Rick. You're already on the payroll for your agency. So,
you know, I mean, it's just...
Not that we...
Seems like it's okay for us right now.
It just seems like, Rick, selling insurance requires intelligence and skill that neither one of us possess.
Yeah. Yeah, that seems like something you would want somebody a little bit more.
Yeah, I don't think you
handy and people-ish.
Yeah, you want better representation of your company. Trust me, than the two of us.
Exactly. Yeah.
At least from a physical standpoint, to show up and have to deal with a claim or anything like that. But we appreciate the offer, though.
Yeah,
we should. You never know. We might need to take you up on it.
Mm-hmm.
You never know. From the guru this morning. I like Josh Reynolds. So did Dan Campbell. He needed 36 more receiving yards entering week 18 to reach 600 in the regular season and earn a $250,000 bonus. Reynolds had only one catch for 18 yards through 57 minutes and 52 seconds of the game. Then Dan Campbell made it his mission to get his fellow Aggie paid with four consecutive targets.
Maybe Dan Campbell had the over.
Maybe. Whoa.
Saying. Because who's going to tell Dan Campbell you can't gamble on football?
Yeah, good luck with that.
I mean, bite your kneecap off.
I think added maybe Sean Payton is just jealous because he wears a size 8. Maybe so.
Maybe.
That's part of the problem. Dylan, Rockies will have another 100-loss season. They can have all the good players they want. Success will never happen for the Rockies. Feel like national opening day, people aren't as excited about as they used to be. Or baseball in general. I saw a tweet from Vic Lombardi from Altitude talking about that he grew up loving baseball, and now baseball doesn't do a whole lot for him anymore. I still love baseball. I think is some bloom off the rose on baseball for sports fans in general? Probably so. The last year's attendance numbers were record attendance numbers in baseball. Baseball's hurt itself with the 94 strike and a lot of other things over the years.
Right.
Also, I think the NFL they've just gotten bigger and stronger and more dominant, and they've made it their mission to be on the calendar even when they're not playing games.
Mm-hmm. And
where the combine's a bigger deal than it ever used to be. The draft is a way bigger deal than it ever used to be.
I think
they've kind of gotten squeezed out a little bit in the landscape. NHL's gotten more popular. NBA's extremely popular.
When it was the original six and the NBA was still kind of nascent a little, football was there, but not to the extent it is. At that point, 162 was... good. I think now there's 40 NASCAR races every year on top of F1 coming over and IndyCar. And then, you know, Premier League is on TV now.
And you've got spring football. But the CFL starts
MLS
in the summer.
MLS is on the come up. And then you have the NBA and the NHL. And you watch football, NFL, week in and week out. You watch the draft, OTAs, free agency. You know, the schedule release show for the NFL. I think there's a part of it to where it's like, you know, I just, there's enough sports on. For 162 of baseball, yeah. It's hard to buy into that.
And is the solution playing fewer games? Owners aren't going to buy into that.
No. But I think that is the solution.
Anthony Rendon would love that. But
yeah. I think that is the solution, to be honest. I just don't know how to do it.
Yeah, I just think that baseball, where we loved the marathon, we loved the long season because there was nothing else going on in the summer. Nothing else was going on. And you didn't start really, probably, you know, going back maybe even 20-some years, that you paid attention to the NFL, but you started paying more and more attention to the NFL during
the
offseason.
There's a reason the third preseason game was the one where they played all the starters, because that's when people kind of started to come back. Now,
it's training camp.
Look at Dove Valley, day one of training camp.
It's packed.
It's packed with people to watch grown men practice their jobs. That's like somebody paying to watch us talk to ourselves in our office or our bedroom. They're practicing their jobs. That's all they're doing, and people are paying to watch it.
There's so much more, as we reference, and not that the United Football League directly takes away a lot of people, a lot of interest from Major League Baseball or professional lacrosse or Major League Soccer, but it's the death by a thousand cuts thing. There's so many other sports that go on that they all take a little bite. They take a little percentage away. May not be a giant percentage, but they all take, and then the NFL takes away a big percentage. You have NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs that are in the springtime when the season starts into the summer.
Yeah.
And that takes a huge, those are the things that take the huge bite out of, out of Major League Baseball.
And I think the thing for baseball is what football is maybe heading towards, oversaturation. There's 2,400 games a year, regular season games. And you can find your local team, unless it's the Rockies. And you can watch, I mean, every night of the week, there's a baseball game on somewhere, usually two, whether it's ESPN, MLB Network, Apple, Peacock, TBS.
They're going to carry some Yankees games this year.
You're not wanting for baseball Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon or Wednesday night baseball.
Right.
It's like you're not starving for a game because you can find all the games.
I also feel like, too, there's a little, and then we can even get into pace of play and all these things, which pitch clock and all that has helped, certainly. But I think we're, like with the NBA, how often do we play, like, TNT's coverage of something from that show? From
a lot.
From Ernie and Chuck and Kenny and those guys. Shaq.
Personalities.
Baseball doesn't have that. They don't have a, hey, this is a show I've got to watch before the game that I've got to watch because these guys are so funny and their characters. And they know the game, but they're also, they make it fun.
Yeah. Baseball. Pedro and David Ortiz are great on the pregame show. But for as much as Turner is front of mind for basketball, they're not yet for baseball.
No, they're not, they don't have that.
It's still too young. It's only been 3 years.
And
I think
just,
they're trying there, but league-wide, they're really not. Who's the lead ESPN baseball analyst? As much as I love Eduardo Perez, he's not going to draw casuals. He's one of their lead analysts. Jessica Mendoza, she's great.
She does
not
a good
gonna
job.
Draw casuals.
No.
A-Rod, please.
No. There's no way you go. I've heard they're hilarious. Mm-hmm. I've heard they're hilarious and insightful, and I've got to watch them.
Right.
Jessica Mendoza does a nice job, but none of them do. And it's not just an indictment of her. It's, they know their stuff, but it's not, and I think they try to be funny and
have a good
time.
And I love MLB Central, the morning show on MLB Network. It's got Mark DeRosa. He's one of the hosts. Bill Ripken pops in every once in a while.
Which I have his card.
Yeah. Sean Casey pops in, you know, and those are entertaining voices. They don't have the star power that your NFLs and your NBAs do. Like, Shaq and Charles Barkley, that's a lot of star power.
Those are two legendary players.
Yeah, I think people sometimes forget just how great they were to be such good analysts or like kind of an outlier.
But like the TNT NHL show. Gretzky's yeah, Gretzky. Right. He's there because he's the great one.
He's got a lot
Bissonnette's
better,
funny,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he is.
I love Bissonnette.
Mm-hmm. And how much they crack on him pretty much all night. And Gretzky's got better. He's the better one than he was kind of the soft one earlier. But, you know, baseball needs some of those guys.
To go off, but there's other baseball.
There's a lot to go into it.
Yeah, and baseball blew it during COVID. In the fighting between the players and the owners about playing.
Yep.
That was a big misstep on their part too. All right, who do we have on the team line?
Our old friend Howard from Fruita.
Howard, good morning. How are you?
Real good, Jim. Real good. Excellent discussion this morning in regards to all that. The NFL films has had a lot to do with where the NFL is as opposed to NBA and all of that. The amount of videos, the subjects of videos that they've cranked out have been amazing. Ed and Steve Sable has just done a superb job of that. They'll have videos of like bone crunching hits, top 50 quarterbacks, best teams ever, and they cover through every genre that you can get on that. And Major League Baseball never really done that. Now the Sables got started right around late 60s or so. But you don't have that input on Major League Baseball, and I think that's got a little bit to do with it. Then again, you've also got NFL products, where they just, you know, advertise everything under the sun, anything from can openers to long underwear to who knows what. 1958, that Colt Giant game that went into overtime, that really got into the consciousness of sports fans, and they were just saying, hey, this is just one heck of a cool product. And it got a little better. You know, Major League Baseball was still on top. But in my opinion, Super Bowl III and Super Bowl IV took it over the top because of the notoriety of Joe Namath. And,
well, yeah, I even go back to the Ice Bowl game. I mean,
yeah, that too. That's another one.
That's an iconic moment, that game, that NFL Films was there to capture. But you're right, the guarantee by Namath, those things. The gap was starting to close between Major League Baseball and the NFL at that point in time. NFL Films definitely played a role in helping to market the product, no doubt about that.
Yeah, they sure did. Let me see. There was something else I was going to mention. But I guess that's probably it. I still enjoy baseball, but one when they really shot themselves in the foot was that 1994 baseball strike.
Yep.
And as I still have friends in the Denver area, several of them had baseball card stores. They didn't have the real vintage stuff like Bill's Sports Collectibles had, but I can name about a half a dozen baseball card stores that just went, they just folded because they didn't have football T-shirts. They didn't have hockey T-shirts. They were only set up on baseball, and that turned off the fans so much. It took the 70 home runs by Mark McGwire and the 67 by Sammy Sosa for the fans to really start tuning back into baseball. That 94 baseball strike really hurt.
It certainly did. Howard, always great to hear from you, my friend.
All right, you take care.
All right, you too. All right, Howard from Fruita today.
You guys mentioned a handful of different football games in there and a handful of different moments. What's the last World Series moment that you can rewatch in your head right now?
Yeah, that's a great question.
For me, it's Rajay Davis's home run. That's 8 years ago now.
Yeah.
Indians-Cubs. Like, I can see that moment in my mind right now. I can, the camera shot where it hits the camera in the left field corner. That's an 8-year-old World Series coming up this October. And I think that's one of baseball's other problems. And Howard's right, and this is part of it. It's the marketing. What do we say? What do I always say about the NFL and why it's important? Because they tell you it is.
Because they say it is. And they are out there year in and year out with tentpole events the entire season.
We know the schedule this year.
Yeah.
We know who's going to play who and where. They literally get millions of viewers just to put them in order. That's it. That's all they're doing. They're taking what you already know and rearranging
and repackaging it for you.
And we'll watch it because, oh, well, this is important. Why? It's the schedule. Well, we already know the schedule.
We know when everybody plays or who everybody plays.
And for...
But don't you know what day it's?
Yeah.
What day of the week?
What time on the Sunday? It's only going to be one of three times.
Is it a primetime game? How many primetime? Always, what's one of the things? How many primetime games do the Broncos get or my team gets? How many
am I going to have to play on a Thursday? Is it going to be a short week? Can we go to that game? But where, and that's for love or hate Roger Goodell, that's what he's turned the NFL into. And whether it's his idea or he's just been at the forefront, going from, you know what, taking what you already know and putting it in order is the most important thing that's going to happen this month, to the commissioner of the other sport down the street, Madison Avenue, saying, yeah, you know what, it's the player's fault they're not really marketed. And this trophy is nice. It's just a hunk of metal, though.
And the people in Oakland, well, they deserve to lose their team.
It's like, jeepers creeper. I know Rob Manfred's like, oh, he's going to be done at the end of his term. It's like, yes! Well,
yes!
He just signed a 5-year term. It's like, oh, come on!
No! Like, did this year the debacle with the uniforms, the see-through pants, and the crappy-looking jerseys, and
the NFL comes out with new jerseys. It seems somebody has a new jersey every year, and that sells. Whether it looks like crap, like whether it's the Browns and they look like Cheer Express All-Stars, which are fantastic uniforms for the cheerleaders,
but not for the players.
Not great for an NFL team, or the Cardinals with whatever they had happened with all their random stripes years ago, or the Falcons where it's black, no, it's red, no, it's both, no, it's three colors, and throw in a little white here.
What are we, Oregon?
Exactly. They'll sell. And now you have the players themselves like, these jerseys suck, and so nobody's going to buy them because they suck and they're $40 more expensive.
And who do you see in commercials all the time? NFL players.
NFL players.
Kelsey, Mahomes.
There's not one baseball player.
Rogers previously. Yeah.
Insurance or anything. You know who's in commercials? Shohei Ohtani. That's the only time we hear his voice.
Yeah.
We got now. That's all he's saying. It's the only baseball player I know that's in a commercial that I can recall right off the top of my head.
All right, 9:17.
Remember every February, March, April, we'd get great local commercial. Like, Randy Johnson is the paper delivery guy.
Yeah.
Zipping papers,
which is
breaking windows, all
fantastic.
Sorts of random stuff. Random, neat little stuff. We don't get that anymore.
No. It's 9:17. Tom Hudson, voice of Gonzaga, coming up. He'll have the call of Gonzaga and Purdue tomorrow with the Sweet 16. So don't forget, it starts today, though, on the team with pregame at 4 o'clock. With Westwood One. All right, before we take a break and we get Tom Hudson on with us, it's time for Wrigley Field Colorado Sports Trivia today. Your chance to win a gift card to Wrigley Field, Grand Junction's original sports bar and the home of the 15-minute lunch guarantee. If you don't get your lunch in 15 minutes or less, it's half price at Wrigley Field, just east of Sam Saplesio Field on North Avenue. All right, it's a Nuggets question today. Nuggets falling to the Suns last night. But Denver still has a lead in the West. Who is the Nuggets' all-time leader in made free throws? It's not multiple choice today. Who is the Nuggets' all-time leader in made free throws? You want to mouth me a guess?
I have it in front of me.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Well,
so I can guess. It'd be dead on accurate.
Were you surprised?
No.
Okay. Who is the Nuggets' all-time leader in made free throws? If you won earlier today, with who is it? If you won the last 2 weeks, don't play. So send your answer in right now. Text only 970-242-1340. Once again, who is the Nuggets' all-time leader in made free throws? Send your answer to us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Also in the garage, a NASCAR Fred coming up. But up next, he's the voice of Gonzaga. Tom Hudson will join us on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warp twisted individuals. Yes.
Yeah! The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back, 922. Sorry, Freddie. Jim of the Buckeye Boy today, Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. Questionable title? Great song. Tie Your Mother Down?
Yeah, I'm sure it's a metaphor for something.
I think it probably is, too. I've looked it up one time, and yeah, it's
great song.
Man, he was so good. guy was insanely talented.
Good guitar riff, too.
Oh, yeah. Brian May.
By Sir Dr. Brian May.
Yes. What, astrophysicist?
Yeah.
Brian May?
There's a video floating around of Brian May and Tommy Iommi. And Brian May throws a solo down over the top of the Paranoid guitar riff. It is wild. Just sitting there, and he could throw down. It sounds like it belongs there.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Yeah, incredible, incredible guitarist, Brian May. All right, he's an incredible play-by-play guy in Con Gonzaga for a long time now. Tom Hudson joins us. Good morning, Tom. How are you?
I'm good. Jim, I don't often come on shows where we talk about metaphors and astrophysicists and the meetings and songs. I like this. We're highbrow here.
I don't know if we're highbrow. We just we get off into our own little tangents.
We're occasionally not lowbrow.
Yeah, we try to not be, well, occasionally we're also very lowbrow too, to be quite honest. We're very middle schoolish.
We're all
sometimes.
Sorts of brows.
Hey, and speaking of which, by the way, isn't it funny when you get a little bit older and you start seeing the lyrics of the songs that that you liked when you were a kid, and you're like, wait, what? The title of the song, you're like, what? Okay, that's what they were doing.
Oh, all right. Well, that's
very
what that
eye-opening.
Was about.
Yeah, huh?
I had no idea that was about.
On me, what? Wait, I thought we were just. Wait, what?
There's a certain age you realize all rock songs from the 70s and 80s are talking about two things: drugs or sex.
Pretty much it. Yeah, and yes. A lot of that with AC/DC.
Yes, and a lot of times both.
Sometimes, yes, both subjects at the same time. Well, Tom Gonzaga, of course, scores off against Purdue coming up tomorrow in the Sweet 16, and these guys have faced each other before. It's a rematch going back to the Maui Invitational back in November, where Zach Edey, the big fella for Purdue, 25 points, 14 rebounds, three blocks in the victory, 73-63 over Gonzaga. A lot of things have changed, certainly for Gonzaga, who have gone from being a team, as we talked about when he came on with us before, being a team that may not even get into the tournament, to here they are once again in the Sweet 16. But the ninth straight season for Mark Few, is that correct? The ninth straight year they're in the Sweet 16?
Yeah, ninth straight Sweet 16, which is pretty crazy. It ties the record with, I think, Duke and North Carolina in the modern era, right, since they expanded back in 85. So, yeah, it's been a crazy run, like you said. I mean, we went from people thinking that we had no business to being here in Detroit. And then I laugh because, you know, we're playing that first game against McNeese, and, you know, it seems like everybody in the world is saying that that's the 12-5 upset this year. And then 2 days later, we're playing Kansas, and we're a favorite. You know, you're trying to figure out what in the world people are doing with their thoughts and their storylines and their narratives. It's crazy. And kudos to Coach Few and our players, because, you know, I think they kind of figured out, hey, we've got to try some different stuff. We need to mix some things up a little bit, and we're just going to go ahead and just work through this, you know. And they put down their phones and stuff, listen to the social media, and just got going. And you know, we're seeing it now. I mean, we've won, I think, 16 of our last 18 games, and they're really on the right track, which has been fun to see. And it is going to be interesting to see Purdue again. Like you said, we saw them in Honolulu back in November. We actually played them at the PK85 in Portland the year prior, and they really put it on us 2 years ago, or they're, you know, 18 months ago. But, you know, this last time was interesting. We were actually ahead at halftime. We missed our last 16 three-point shots in that first meeting, if you can imagine that. we were 0 for 16 to end it. It lost by 10. So it's going to be interesting to see. Like you said, we're a lot different. I think they're different. I think they're a little bit better. I mean, Edey is ridiculous how good he is. I mean, he has dominated us in those two meetings, you know, numbers-wise. So it's going to be interesting to see. You know, kind of the general thought is, what do? Do you let him go ahead and get his, you know, 25 and at 20 and try to stop everybody else? And, you know, people say that. You're like, yeah, that's easy. But then the problem is, if he's getting his 25 and 20, they have a pretty good chance of winning too. So I'm interested to see how things work out tomorrow night here in Detroit.
One of the things that we talked about before the tournament started, Tom, was with Zach Edey, that at times as you know, two-time, you know, player of the year, as good as he can be, there are times he just flat out, for as big as he is, he just disappears during stretches of games. You can't say that right now in the tournament. He's averaging 27 points per game, almost 18 rebounds per game, three blocks per game through the first two rounds. And so Zach Edey, for those of us that were like, you know, sometimes plays a little soft, sometimes he disappears, he has been very much front and center for Purdue during this tournament run.
Yeah, he has. He's been ridiculous. And I saw right after the game, they were talking to him, and he was like, hey, I didn't come back here to make it to the Sweet 16. You know, we didn't come back to be settled with making the second weekend. And it does kind of feel like he's on this mission, you know, because Purdue's had some problems in the tournament here, you know, over these last couple of years. So, yeah, he's playing great. And it sounds like he is dialed in and ready to go. I'm interested to see, like I said, how we defend him. We have enough big bodies. I think that, and you're just not going to, like you said, unless he completely disappears, maybe. But, you know, you're not going to completely shut him down. You know, I think for me, so much with him, and we've seen it all year, and articles have been written, and people talk about it, is the foul situation, right? And I was just reading an article, and he draws almost 10 fouls a game, but somehow he only fouls people less than twice a game. You know, I read a stat where it's like, you know, in his last 67 games, he's had 4 fouls like 6 times. And if you watch the way he plays, like you said, Jim, he's so big and he's kind of gangly. I think he's very athletic for being 7'4", but all of the contact and all the stuff that goes on, to think that he doesn't commit more than 2 fouls a game is an interesting deal. It just is. And I understand it's hard to officiate him because of his size and, you know, because of his strength. So I think that's going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of where that number goes. Because, you know, if your big guy's getting foul trouble, then I don't know that you have much of a chance unless you make, you know, 18 or 20 threes in a game.
Gonzaga voice Tom Hudson with us, joining us from Detroit, where the Bulldogs take on number 1 seed Purdue coming up tomorrow in the Sweet 16. You know, something else in Edie's obviously played a big role in this, Tom, with almost 18 rebounds per game. Boilermakers have out-rebounded teams in the tournament 97-49. What does Gonzaga do to combat that particular aspect of trying to make that, at least the disparity, not that as dramatic when they square up coming up tomorrow?
Well, and that's going to be one of the huge keys, right? And we've been kind of hit and miss in that department this year, Jim. There are times where you feel like, okay, hey, we've got this thing going okay. And not that we're dominating, but at least we're kind of playing even on the glass. And there have been some games where we've just been absolutely blasted. And that can't happen. And I think the scary thing for Purdue, with their rebounding, with their scoring, with everything else, is, you know, Edie gets so much attention. But when you look at the rest of the guys they have on that team, you know, they're good and they're physical, you know. And I mean, it seems like every guy, you know, you're going through and you're putting your notes together to get ready for the game. And, you know, everybody's a former Mr. Indiana basketball, you know. I mean, these guys know how to play the game. They've got some big, strong kids. And, you know, they brought in Lance Jones from Southern Illinois, who's been a great, you know, addition for them defensively and rebounding it. So it's really interesting, right, because you say, okay, well, Edie's getting 18 rebounds a game in the tournament, but like you said, I mean, they're averaging almost 50. So they're coming from other places too, and I think that's the thing, is you have to be able to chase down the long ones and the, you know, kind of get to the loose ones and not let it turn into a deal where they really are getting it time and time again. Because, you know, especially on the offensive end, with each offensive rebound they get, and then they reset, and then you've got to try to defend Edie again, and your big guys are just getting pushed around and knocked around, and that takes a toll. So it is going to be interesting. That's going to be one of the things we really have to do. And again, not necessarily win the rebounding battle, but we have to be competitive there, because if not, you know, they get some of those rebounds and kick it out. I mean, they lead the country in three-point shooting at 41%, you know, because I think they get a lot of them, you know, because Edie can pass out of double teams and off offensive rebounds. So if we're giving up offensive rebounds and they're getting wide open looks, it's going to be a very short stay in Detroit for the Gonzaga Bulldogs.
Tom Hudson joining us today from Detroit, side of the Sweet 16, where Gonzaga squares off against Purdue tomorrow. You mentioned the game out in Hawaii, the 10-point loss for Gonzaga to Purdue in that matchup back in November, and that you guys had the lead in the first half of that game. What went right in that game when they had the lead, and what can they maybe take? What can Mark Few, Tom, take from that game that might be of some assistance coming up tomorrow?
Well, you know, what was interesting, Jim, was, you know, we actually shot the three well early, you know, ironically, before we went ice cold. And I think we're going to have to knock down some shots. One of the big keys for us this year, I mean, the stat is glaring. You know, in our 7 losses, we're shooting less than 20% from behind the three-point line. And in our wins, we're shooting somewhere in the vicinity of 39%. And that doesn't mean we have to go, you know, 15 for 28 necessarily. I mean, we won at Kentucky, I think we made 5, but we did it on 9 shots. You know, we didn't go 5 for 22. And so I think that was something that the game started that way, is that we were shooting it well, and then we just went ice cold. And the other thing that's going to be interesting for us, you go back and, you know, I was looking at the box score yesterday. You know, Ben Gregg has moved into our starting lineup for Dusty Stromer. Ben only played 18 minutes in that game, and Dusty played about 31. And obviously putting Ben in the lineup, we put him in the middle of January, and this team has really taken off with that lineup change. So I think we're a little bit different. I think Graham Ike is in better shape. You know, Ryan Nemhard really struggled in that game. We kind of felt like early in the season maybe he was forcing stuff a little bit, and right now he's playing unbelievable basketball. I mean, he has, in his last five games, he has 54 assists. He just set the school record for most assists in the game. He had 12 against Kansas. So he seems to have a real good, you know, kind of finger on the pulse of the game right now. So he's playing a lot better. So I think making three-point shots there helped us early on to get that lead, and I think we were pretty competitive. But we really are a different team right now, I think. So that's going to be interesting, too, to see that matchup. And, you know, hopefully Ben can continue to play well for us. And then, you know, again, if Ryan is playing good, that's going to be a heck of a point guard matchup between him and Braden Smith, because Smith's one of the best point guards in the country. So that'll be an intriguing matchup, too.
You're talking about shooting a three, and right now you guys are trending in the right direction heading into Purdue. 50% in the tournament, 18 for 36 during the first two rounds. So the thing that worked the last time against Purdue, it's clicking right now for Mark Few and the Bulldogs, no doubt about that. And I do want to ask you a little bit about Anton Watson, who had the 21 points against Kansas. Nolan Hickman had 17. You've had five players reach double digits in both tournament games. So three-point shooting's been good. Scoring's been really good for Gonzaga through the first couple of games.
It has. We've been clicking and moving. And, you know, that Kansas matchup, I think, for both teams was great. You know, anymore, it feels like any of these tournament games that it's clutch and grab and hold. And, you know, nobody's moving. And it was great to, you know, both teams kind of getting up and down the floor. Coach Few didn't like it. I was joking about our coach's show on Monday. I said, hey, it was free-flowing. It was great. He's like, we didn't play any defense. What are you talking about? I was like, well, yeah, but, you know, sitting courtside watching the ball go in the basket was kind of fun, and watching the teams run back and forth was really cool. But it was that first weekend was great for us because we did get out and we did run. And you talk about the three-point shooting. You know, it feels like, too, right now, our shooters are the guys that are taking those shots. And for as silly as that sounds, right, I mean, you even go back to our Purdue matchup, one of the things that they wanted to try to do was to get Graham Ike, you know, to step out and shoot some threes to try to draw Edie away from the basket. Well, the only problem is Graham doesn't shoot threes very much. You know, we thought maybe he could. He's only shot a handful since Hawaii. So, you know, that part of the plan kind of backfired. I think he was 2 for 6 shooting threes. So it's been interesting because the guys, even like I said, Ryan, who has been good shooting the basketball here of late, doesn't shoot, you know, in high volume. So, you know, mostly it's been Nolan Hickman, who's been kind of our volume guy. Ben Gregg has been a volume guy for us here. You know, Anton can knock some down. So it's been the right guys. Dusty Stromer, you know, had a great game against McNeese. It's been an up and down freshman year, but he is a very good shooter. So, Jim, I do think that's been a big key, is that the right guys have been taking our three-point shots. We haven't been forcing them, which has been, you know, another big key for this team. Because I think, like I said, early on in the year, I think guys probably trying to, you know, establish their roles and figure out who they were. Maybe we're forcing it a little bit. So, Gonzaga's shooting it well right now. And like I said, I think it's the right guys who are taking the shots.
Of course, that game coming up tomorrow in Detroit between Purdue and Gonzaga, 5:30 our time. We'll have our coverage on Westwood One. But I strongly encourage, check out the work of Tom Hudson. Are you on Varsity app, correct? You're on the Varsity app? So,
yes, check Varsity app, yep.
And Adam Morrison still doing the games with you, correct?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, so check out Tom and Adam coming up tomorrow on the Varsity app and listen to the Gonzaga broadcast. You guys do a fantastic job.
Now, Jim, thanks. I appreciate it. It's great being on with you. And let's do this from Phoenix next week, huh? That'd be kind of fun.
I like that. That sounds good. Now, it's going to have to be early in the week because I'm going to Iowa later in the week. So
we're going to
go out to Iowa to see my wife's relatives and can see our old friend Dwayne Banks, who is the retired Iowa baseball coach. And so we're going to go out and see Dwayne as well. But hopefully, Tom, we will make time to talk next week if you guys can come up with a win and move on to the next round.
All right, sounds great, Jim. Great talking to you, as always.
Always appreciate it, Tom, and enjoy your time in Detroit. Thanks.
All right, thanks.
Tom Hudson joining us today from Detroit. They do a sensational job, him and Adam Morrison.
Yeah, they're great.
All right, 9:37, let's quickly dive into four down territory this morning.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the team.
All right, got a couple of things to get to this morning. As much as we've been talking about start of the Major League Baseball season, you know, tomorrow is also the start of the United Football League. XFL converges with it.
Yeah.
Hey, USFL.
My baseball season is over coming up tomorrow. Watching that.
Let's bump the brakes on that a little bit. How much are you going to watch of the UFL?
Very little, if any.
You'll probably watch some, though.
Yeah, some.
You're going to watch some of it.
But very little. Very little.
All right, if you do watch it, what will be the reason you'll watch it the most? The biggest reason. The rules, like we always talk about, we like seeing... Of course, the kickoffs changed. Mm-hmm. What was the XFL kickoff is now the NFL kickoff, which is no longer the UFL kickoff.
Right. To be honest, to be perfectly honest, what will end up getting me to watch it is probably while I'm on my TV trying to find something to watch, and as I'm scrolling, it says UFL football. Let's check in on this for a few minutes. That's probably going to end up being it.
So it starts Saturday. Birmingham Stallions, Arlington Renegades. I believe, weren't they?
Throw out the records.
Weren't they the
respective
champions of the XFL and USFL?
They were indeed.
So 11 o'clock Saturday. That's on Fox. Followed by the team that just refuses to go away. No matter what incarnation, there's always the St. Louis Battlehawks against the Michigan Panthers. That's 2 o'clock game on Fox as well. As the United Football League gets underway this weekend. All right. So, got Steph Curry with the reaction that he had. It's gone viral. Of Draymond Green getting tossed last night, 4 minutes into the game.
Yeah.
Excuse me, 3 minutes. I saw where it was four, but it says three here.
Is that a new record for Draymond?
3 minutes into the Warriors' win over Orlando. At Orlando, Green got a technical foul for arguing with the referee Ray Acosta after the official had called a foul on Warriors swingman Andrew Wiggins. And so, anyway, I guess he kept jawing. He got tossed. And the reaction of Steph Curry is pretty priceless in the whole thing. I'm watching. He's standing there watching Green. He's jawing.
Mm-hmm.
He's jawing away. And then there's just kind of this look of from Steph Curry, like, yep, that's our guy.
Yeah.
That's what he does. It's kind of.
And not a, that's our guy. It's a,
that's our Draymond. Because he just stares down the tunnel. He's getting escorted off the court. They show him from the back. He's just like looking down the tunnel, like, yep, there he goes.
There he goes. Our guy. Third down, the Dodgers guy is going to be without some baseball for a little bit. That'd be one Charlie Steiner.
Yeah, I saw this.
First pitch coming up today against the Cardinals. Steiner with three compound fractures in his back.
Ooh.
And so he's going to be on the injured list to start the season. He said, over the winter, I landed on the injured list with three compound fractures in my back. I don't recommend it. With the start of the baseball season upon us, the Dodgers are ready to go, but I'm not. It'll be the first opening day that I will have missed since 1976. So Charlie Steiner is going to miss the first few weeks, months, games of the Dodgers season. You know who's not missing a home opener? That'd be the Uke, one of our favorites. Bob Uecker sent to broadcast the Brewers.
Just a bit outside.
Bob Uecker's been doing Brewers games since 1971. The man is 90 years young.
That's incredible.
Man, the Uke.
I remember when Sam Saplesio, when Sam was doing stuff with the Brewers, that he had Bob Uecker cut a spot for Home Loan.
That's
incredible.
That ran
here in town. The Bob Uecker cut the commercial. That was pretty cool.
That's just incredible, yeah.
That was incredible. All right, so it's time for this day in sports history.
That's the story of the greatest sport moment of all of history.
It's time to take a trip back in time. It's this day in sports history.
All right, 1963, the AFL's New York Titans changed their name to the New York Jets. 1971, Gail Goodrich of the Lakers sets an NBA playoff record by shooting the most free throws without a miss, hitting all 17 of his shots at the charity stripe. Also 1972, on this day, Wilt Chamberlain plays in his final NBA game. 1977, Marquette beats North Carolina to win the NCAA men's basketball tournament. Both those teams very much in play to win it here in 2024. Also on this day in 1990, President George H.W. Bush posthumously awards Jesse Owens the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Well deserved.
Well deserved.
Ohio State great.
From the first President Bush. All right, take a break. We'll come back 9:43. And on the way next, we'll have In the Garage NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Did we get a winner, by the way, for Wrigley Field Trivia?
We did.
Okay.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the contest.
It's another winner on the Team Sports Network.
Steven, first in the door, identifying the horse, of course, Dan Issel.
Dan with 4,217 made free throws in his career. All right, we'll take a break and return with more on the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network, online at theteam1340.com.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Now, to anyone out there who wants to go fast, anybody,
I want to go fast.
Like an oval, then we're going to drive straight and then we're going to be turning to the left.
Green flag, get ready to go in the air. Boogity, boogity, boogity. Let's go racing, boys.
All right, it's time to go in the garage of NASCAR Fred, brought to you by Montrose Ford Nissan. Not just a better deal, a better dealership. Pricing information at MontroseFordNissan.com. From the great state of Iowa, NASCAR Fred joins us. Hello, Fred. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Boy, quite a race on Sunday. People are talking now about, hey, this 24 car might be getting back to the same level, the same status that it was when Jeff Gordon was driving it. And, you know, that's not far-fetched. So Byron's he's really going strong this year. It's pretty something to see.
Yeah, William Byron picking up the victory at Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix, out, of course, in the Cup Series out in Texas. William Byron, Christopher Bell, Ty Gibbs, Alex Bowman, Ty Reddick, your top five out in Texas. And why do you think things are clicking right now for William Byron, Fred?
There's various things to it. I mean, partly it's just the Hendrick organization, and they've always got the best equipment. Well, them and Gibbs really, I think, are at the top in terms of just the equipment that they have, the personnel that they have. Part of it too is we always talk about the driver crew chief relationship. You know, William Byron's crew chief is Rudy Fugel, who he's worked with in the Truck Series and the Infinity Series. They know each other really well. They've got that chemistry that wins a lot of races, and part of it is just William Byron himself. He's just, you know, I mean, the guy came out of iRacing, and people kind of look at askance at him a little bit. I mean, Pellissi was so young and baby-faced, and no, they're taking him seriously now. He's just one of the best drivers to come along in a long time.
And the proof is in the pudding, because William Byron is your points leader right now, followed by Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson, Christopher Bell, Daniel Suarez, Martin Truex Jr., Ty Gibbs, Ryan Blaney, Ross Chastain, and Chase Elliott rounds out the top 10 right now. Of course, after this last weekend at Texas.
Yeah, it's still early enough in the season that one race can really kind of shake the point standings up. So you're not going to get too concerned about, you know, somebody like Joey Logano, who's still outside the top 20 in points, who's like, yeah, you know, long ways to go yet. So it is nice to be leading the points, though.
Absolutely. Anything else from Texas you want to talk about?
Let me see. Ty Gibbs. Got to mention Ty Gibbs. This guy, he's kind of been just sneaky good, you know, all season so far. I think he's only got one finish out of the top 10, and that was at the Daytona 500. He was third this week. A.J. Allmendinger, didn't see him up at the front as much as we thought we might. No real surprises, I guess.
So let's move on to NASCAR officials. We mentioned this before. They were out in California, out in L.A. not too long ago. Looks like the race at the L.A. Coliseum is, you know, that's going to come to an end. Some talk about a race at Dodger Stadium, but there's also been, at least in one article, about the possibility that the Long Beach Grand Prix could be the next target for NASCAR, that they're pursuing at least a 50% stake in that Long Beach race, which has been part of the IndyCar calendar since 84.
Yeah, and that's, I think it's sort of a trend that NASCAR has been doing. I mean, for a long time, it was just all oval tracks. Seemed like half the schedule was mile and a half ovals, you know. And you had the two road course races every year. There was Sonoma and Watkins Glen, and that was it for road courses. But now, you know, you've got six or seven different road courses that they run on. It's a completely different kind of racing. And I think this is, you know, the street race, obviously, that they had at Chicago. This is kind of a movement along those lines. I think people got excited about the street race, and you know, NASCAR says, "Yeah, this is working. People like it." And maybe just, you know, as before, kind of a chance to get outside their traditional fan base and get some more people aware of NASCAR and interested in it.
Anything else you want to talk about before we move on to talk about, of course, this weekend at Richmond?
They did some tire testing yesterday at Sonoma. They repaved the Sonoma road course, the entire track. First time it's been repaved in 23 years. So things are going to be completely different. Martin Truex, Ross Chastain, and Josh Berry, they're doing some tire testing to help, you know, select what tires they're going to use when they go there in June. Chastain said the grip is just crazy. They're 2.5 seconds below the track record. So it's going to be some interesting racing. It's going to be, you know, you get to know the track, all the ins and outs and the bumps and this and that. It's going to be a completely different scenario come June. It'll be and faster, apparently. It'll be a lot of fun to see.
All right, so coming up this Sunday and Easter Sunday, remember there was a time that NASCAR didn't race on Easter Sunday, but technically it's Easter evening, if you will. I guess it'd be a little bit later on, about 5 right. o'clock. Our time here in the mountain time zone, but the Toyota Owners 400 from Richmond Raceway. That's going to be once again the Sunday right around 5:15 on Fox TV. Give us a little preview of Richmond coming up on Sunday.
Oh, I think it's kind of back to NASCAR's roots, I suppose. You had, you know, road courses and super speedways and stuff, and it's kind of been some crazy stuff going on. And this is a track, you know, it's one of those long-time tracks. Like, okay, we're at Richmond. We know this place. Kyle Busch, got to watch out for him. He had a little bit of a kerfuffle, as you could say, with Christopher Bell last week. And they said, oh, he's going to be driving with a chip on his shoulder. He's already won six times at Richmond, so... yeah, I'd say definitely watch out for him. But it's going to be a little bit of beating and banging. It's a three-quarter-mile track, but it can be, you know, the racing is kind of like a Bristol or a short track like that.
All right. So from last week at, of course, out in Texas.
Yes. Fred had the only top 10, Ty Reddick finishing fifth. Chase Elliott, 16th. Shane Van Gisbergen, my guy, the driving SVG. Finished 20th, so I could finish last out of the three of us.
You suck at this.
I get that. Fred gets the...
just a big, hairy American winning machine.
Yes, and at the Toyota Owners 400, Fred picks first, then me, then Jim, you finish last.
Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna go out on a little bit of a limb, which I do sometimes, which is why I'm usually third in the points. But, you know, it would just be cool to see, and I think it's not far-fetched at all. I am going with Ty Gibbs.
Interesting. That is okay. A little bit of a long shot. I'm going with not quite as long of a shot. He's third in the odds that I saw this morning. I'm going to go Martin Truex Jr.
Denny Hamlin's been good to me.
Yeah, he
is. I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin.
So, there you go. Fred likes
it. Denny Hamlin's been good at Richmond, too.
Fred likes it. That's his championship pick.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Denny Hamlin this week.
Hey, I've already got William Byron winning two races.
That's good.
Point totals, I have 9 in first. Jim has 6 in second. Fred, like he mentioned, 4 points. He's in third.
All right, Fred. Well, next week you'll be talking to Buckeye because I'm actually going to be out in your neck of the woods out in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, visiting some of my wife's family. So we'll be out there in the state of Iowa. We'll be in country kind of together there.
Yeah, just make a swing through Knoxville. Say hi.
How far is Knoxville from Cedar Rapids?
Oh, gosh, it's about 100 miles or so.
Yeah. Hopefully,
but it's kind of on the way.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I'll see you, but I won't make any promises. Fred, appreciate it, man. Have a great weekend. All right, that's our show. Back with you on Monday.